This
Thank
call
you
is
very
being
much,
recorded.
Brother Greg. May God continue to bless you. Deacon Geneva Grant, I thank you for that very uplifting praise and worship. God bless you both. Good morning, family. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I extend a very warm and cordial welcome to each and every one of you who have dialed into this conference line. On behalf of all of us at New Life Church of God, we thank you for being with us this morning. We know that God has something great in store for you, and that today you are in the right place at the right time. So just sit back and listen attentively to what God is saying to all of us on this 29th day of May in the year 2022. God bless you and thank you for being a part of this ministry. I would like to speak to you from the book of Hosea chapter 10. And I'm going to read from verse 9 through verse 12. Here beginning the reading of God's holy word. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Here ended the reading of God's holy word. Praise God. Let us pray. Eternal and ever-living God, how we thank you. God, you have been good to us all our lives. And so, God, we are so grateful to you. We are grateful to you that you have kept us, you have protected us, you have provided for us, Lord. Day by day, you provide us with our daily bread. And so, Father God, today we come another time to receive from you, to receive our daily bread. Father God, I know that you have already prepared the ground to receive your word. And so I just want to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. I have the confidence that your word will fall on good ground today. And so I say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The topic for the message this morning, this hour, is break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground. Fallow ground is defined as a field that has been sown with crops in the past and previously yielded much fruit. But now it has been left unworked, or you may say untilled, or even neglected for a time. And so it has become hard and tough. The land which was once fertile ground No, it yields nothing but weeds and thorns. This scenario can easily depict a picture of a nation or a person or persons that used to be known for their righteousness and fruitfulness, but has now turned from God and has grown cold towards Him. It is obvious that the focal point of this passage of scripture that I read dealt with Israel's sin. Sad to say, it is also relevant to the church community in this season we are now living in, because we know there is no big sin or little sin. Sin is sin, no matter how it is being perceived. Sad to say, we have all sinned and have come short of God's glory. Verse 9 of chapter 10 begins with these words: O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. Gibeah was already mentioned in Hosea chapter 9, verse 9, and it is now repeated in chapter 10, verse 9. When scripture is so vividly repeated, we must pay a keen attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Chapter 9, verse 9 says, they have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. And verse 9 of chapter 10 says, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. I believe this morning the Holy Spirit wants the reader of those verses to pay attention to the sin that was committed in Gibeah, hence the reason for the repetition. I am sure your curiosity has been aroused and would like to know what was that sin that occurred in Gibeah. I'm going to take a few minutes and give you that information. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 19, verse 22 to verse 30. Keep in mind, Gibeah was a city of the tribe of Benjamin and was located in the northern side of Jerusalem. So let me read Judges 19 from verse 22 to 30. Here beginneth this reading. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house. Do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble you them, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man, do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her, and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the door of the house and went out to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up, and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and got him unto his place. And when he was come into his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your minds. Oh my God, have mercy, Jesus. That was the vicious sin that was committed in Gibeah. Here it is, this man was a sojourner passing through the city of Gibeah, and we know when we say that, when the verse says that the men of the city wanted the master of the house to put this man out that they may know him, we know what this is all about. We cannot circumvent it. Man laying or lying with man, woman with woman, we cannot circumvent it. God says it's a sin. And so he said, the people of Gibeah had sin. He said, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. And even when the man put his concubine out, they raped that woman, they abused her, and she died. That is when the man took her body and divided it up into 12 pieces and sent it to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so verse 30 says, and it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such deed done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt unto this day. And that is why the scripture says, thou hast sinned. Even though there was a battle in Gibeah against those who had committed that atrocity, there was still sin in Israel. God wanted a willfully blind Israel to acknowledge their sin and to repent of their sin. Let us take another look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, which says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. I ask that you, all of us, open our hearts today and learn from Israel's mistake so as to avoid God's judgment. Israel had sown the seed of sin, which I mentioned before. And the consequences for what they had done would be the results would end in God's judgment. Keep in mind that the scripture tells us in Proverbs that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to its people. To sow is to plant or put seeds into the soil. Our actions and deeds are like seeds that we sow. We must be careful what seeds we sow, because some of the seeds we sow, unfortunately, they can have a negative or a positive effect on those around us. The scripture in verse 12 tells us that we should sow to ourselves in righteousness. In other words, no one can do it for you. You must do it for yourself. You must sow righteousness for yourself. You must make the choice to be right with God. Absolutely, no one is able to make that decision for you. No one can make you right with God but you yourself. In order to sow yourself in righteousness, it will take a desire to allow God's word and his Holy Spirit to produce in you his righteousness. An individual may be honorable, honest, without God's word and his Holy Spirit. But sad to say, that is what is called self-righteousness. Self-righteousness cannot and will not give you eternal life. Neither will it give you entrance into the kingdom of God. The scripture also tells us that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. So, if you are not clothed with God's righteousness, it simply means you are clothed with filthy rags. We cannot circumvent that fact. When you depend on yourself to produce righteousness, automatically you will do what you think and feel is right. But hear the words of Solomon in Proverbs 21, verse 2, which says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. So if you have been applying the scripture to justify your self-righteousness, remember that it also says, but the Lord pondereth the heart. It means the Lord examines our hearts. The Lord knows our hearts. Even before we think it, God knows the next thought that will enter into our hearts. You know, these days, folks tend to omit certain key instructions from the Word of God, and they will call right wrong and wrong right. I say to you today, true righteousness is not based on how we perceive it to be, but it is based on how God sees it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. When we desire to live by the word of God, we are allowing God to multiply and increase his righteousness in our lives. That is the reason why, as believers, we are to feed on the word of God, for it is the word of God that becomes our seed of righteousness. Israel had sown the seed of sin, and obviously, they will soon reap God's judgment. We all sow into our life and others' life. But do we sow seeds of righteousness? What fruits will come forth from the seeds that we have planted? Verse 12 of Hosea 10 says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. I believe that most of us here today are children of God, and therefore we should no longer be sowing to our flesh. In Paul's, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, he penned these words in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 8. This is what he said. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My beloved family in Christ, Paul was not speaking to unbelievers in that scripture. He was addressing believers in the church at Galatia. By addressing the issue of believers sowing to the flesh, Paul was saying to those church folks that believers who sow to the flesh was mocking God's grace and God's mercy. The Apostle Paul also warned the church not to deceive themselves, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever you sow, you will reap. If you sow good seeds, you will reap good fruit. As children of God, we do not live by what is trending in the world or in society, but we allow the infallible word of God to govern our lives. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, I am sick and tired of the church trying to imitate the world. Let us not forget what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says about God's people, the church. Because remember, the church is not the building. We are the church. And so Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The scripture also tells us in Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14, that we are the salt of the earth and that we are the light of the world. Jesus was and is still speaking to believers through his word. We, the church, must remain salted. And we must allow our light to shine. Light must overcome darkness. The church must stop imitating the world. Let the church be the church. In verse 12, Hosea says, to break up the fallow ground. The ground in this context explicitly refers to man's heart. Some believers' heart has become desensitized to God and his word. A farmer can plant acres and acres of seeds, but if the land is fallow, it will bring forth nothing. Sad to see. A woman or man of God can sow the word of God day after day, 24/7, 365 days. But if the ground is fallow, there will be no fruit to show. Family, this is a very sad scenario that I have painted, a very sad picture that I have painted. But believe it or not, it is the truth. When the ground is fallow, when man's heart is hardened, there can be no fruit. Fallow ground is unused ground. I would like to give you some examples of unused ground or fallow ground in the life of believers. Number one, believers who are not involved in the work of God. That's a sign of a fallow ground. And when I talk about not being involved in the work of God, I'm not talking about being busy with the physical day-to-day functions of the church. I am talking about lack of interest in soul winning and witnessing. Those are undisputable evidence of a fallow ground. Another one. Lack of interest in prayer and Bible study. To not be in Bible study, and I'm specifically speaking to the members of New Life Church of God, to not be in Bible study where you can sit in the comfort of your home once a week and listen to God's word being taught, or to be in Sunday school by the click of a button of your smart device, as Pastor Baxter always referred to the smart device in your home. A click of a button on your phone or whatever, your tablet, whatever, in your home. Or not to be in prayer meeting just by dialing 10 numbers on your phone. That, you may be surprised to know, is hardness of heart. You have no interest in the Word of God. You have no interest in praying. You have no interest in seeking God. That is a heart that is fallow. It's hard. It's brittle. Another one. Being too busy with secular activities to be involved in the work of God is evidence of a fallow ground. You are getting more joy, and you are busy with secular activities because you are getting more joy out of secular things. That is an indication of a fallow ground. Another one, and the last one, there are many more, but I only gave four. When it is difficult to receive the word of God, it is often because of the hardening of your heart. For those of you who do not know, let me inform you. Prayer softens our heart to enable us to receive the word. So if you are not praying, I beseech you this morning to start praying. Don't take prayer lightly. Prayer softens our heart to enable us to receive the word. Praise and worship is good. But you know what praise and worship does? It brings our heart into God's presence. It does not usher in the presence of God. This statement would be contrary to God's word. For his word tells us in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So praise and worship brings us into the presence of God, because God's presence is always with us. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. From these two scriptures, we have the assurance that God is always with us. So prayer softens our heart to enable us to receive the word. And praise and worship brings us into the presence of God. Not the presence of, not bringing the presence of God to us, but bringing us into his presence, because he's always with us. The reason why we call for prayer before the service begins in our church is to allow our hearts and minds to become sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit and allow our hearts to be softened to receive the word of God. So we always pray before the beginning of the service. Now, Hosea said that breaking up the fallow ground will precede the rains of refreshing that come from the Lord. I say to you today, we can preach like Paul and pray like Silas for revival. But if the ground is fallow, we are just blowing hot air. Revival will only come after we break up the fallow ground. Yes, we will get a spark now and then, but the real fire of revival will only come when the fallow ground is broken. Revival will not come with hardened attitudes. Revival will not come with feelings of unforgiveness. Revival will not come with lack of interest in the things that pertain to God. Revival always comes after the breaking up of the fallow ground. Many of us would like to see revival in our churches. But I say to you today, the fallow ground has to be broken before the fire of revival will fall in a congregation. Revival will come when, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is seriously should become a part of our lives. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. When we begin to practice 2 Chronicles 7:14, we will experience revival. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, had these words for the children of Israel thousands of years ago. And these words are very relevant for believers in this dispensation. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. This is what the man of God said. Thus said the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that nothing can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Unlike Hosea, the prophet Jeremiah switched from the image of a fallow ground to the idea of a baby boy's circumcision. The Jews were convinced that all was well with them because they were circumcised in the flesh. Jeremiah used the literal foreskin as an analogy to let Israel know that because of their sin, the ground had become fallow, and that they needed to repent and ask for God's mercy. Jeremiah was actually saying to Israel, instead of remaining comfortable and believing that all is well, because you perform the ritual of removing the physical foreskin, it is not the removal of the physical foreskin that is important. Instead, it is the circumcision of the heart that will cause you to escape God's judgment. And God is saying the same thing to his church today. He's not asking you to follow the circumcision of the physical. It's a spiritual circumcision he's talking about, a circumcision of the heart. And the only way a heart can be circumcised is through the vehicle of repentance. We cannot keep unforgiveness in our heart. We cannot allow those little foxes to spoil the grapes. We have to be vigilant and watchful over what enters into our heart. When the foreskin of the heart is removed, the fallow ground will be broken and God's wrath and judgment will be avoided. It is only then God will send rain of righteousness and the fallow ground will be broken and become fertile ground that will bring forth fruit. We need to see some fruit in the lives of believers. It should not be business as usual. It should not be a ritual. But it should be the circumcision of our hearts. It is only then revival will take place. So many of us is carrying a burden to see revival come to the church of God. To see a change in the lives of God's people. It can't be business as usual. We are living in the last of the last days. A heart filled with pride and unforgiveness is like untilled ground. It is hard and unable to bear fruit. Fallow ground in this context is a heart overgrown with thorns and weeds, which is the natural product of a corrupt heart. A corrupt heart can't bring forth fruit. All it's going to do is bring forth thorns and thistles and weeds. All it's going to bring forth is evil, is wickedness. That's why there's so much wickedness in the world today. That an 18-year-old would look at 10-year-old and point blank shoot them, kill them. That's a fallow ground. So that fallow ground could only bring forth wicked evil. Evil. And so today, my family, let us search ourselves today. Let us entreat the Lord to create in us a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within us. Our brothers and sisters, it is time to seek the Lord. How do we break up the fallow ground? We break up the fallow ground by seeking the Lord through prayer, by repenting of our sins. We do it by seeking the Lord, not by indulging in worldly pleasures and looking to worldly things. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. This is I beseech you today to seek him today. Seek him now, not tomorrow or when you have the time. No, it is now we have to seek the Lord. We have to seek the Lord till he comes and rain righteousness. That's what the word of God says, till he comes and rain righteousness. The sentence, till he comes and rain righteousness, tells us how long we should break up the fallow ground, until he comes and rain righteousness. We do it until the harvest comes. We pray and we repent and we turn from our wicked ways until we see the harvest. But who knows? Maybe the harvest is just a season away. Sometimes people expect to sow sin for years, but they expect to immediately reap in mercy after sowing righteousness for one day. And so I admonish each and every one of you today to continue sowing in righteousness, and you will reap God's mercy in due time. And it is only then and only then your fallow ground will be broken. It is time to seek the Lord. It's time to ask the Lord to create in us a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within us. We never like to close our service without giving someone the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to none of us. None of us. We don't even know if the next hour, the next minute is not promised to us. The teacher who was murdered, her husband went to the site to lay flowers as a memorial to the 24 years of marriage he had with this lovely woman. He went back home, sat in his chair, and he died. We don't know within the next hour. We don't know. So this, today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. I invite you to repeat this very brief and simple prayer after me. Oh God, I am a sinner. I have fallen short. I ask your forgiveness. I now ask Jesus, your Son, to come into my heart and reign on the throne of my heart forever and ever. If you have said that prayer and you really mean it, you are now a child of God. And guess what? Even the very angels in heaven are rejoicing because you have come home. So let me just pray for you. Father God, that man, that woman, that boy or girl who has just said that simple prayer, I pray that you will cover them and keep them safe, Lord. God, I pray that you would give them an appetite for your word, because it is through your word we grow spiritually. Bless that person this day and keep them safe until Jesus comes.
In your name I pray. Amen and amen. I'm not going to